Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you this morning. Let's pause for a few moments and put the activities of the day out of our mind, and even what's going on, it might be occupying your mind right now. Whether it be the challenges of everyday routine of life, or a loss of a loved one, or a loved one in the hospital, someone you care about, let's just lay it at the foot of Calvary. Let's give it to Christ as we pause for a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come before you today thanking you and exalting you, for truly you are the cornerstone. Lord, help us to realize that every aspect of our lives should be built upon that cornerstone, which is you. Heavenly Father, we know that without you, where would we be? Heavenly Father, without you, we would be missing out on heaven, eternity, peace, true love, and the list goes on of how you take care of your children and your servants. Lord, I pray for these that are here. I ask, Lord God, that you would move in our lives today as we hear the word of God, as we focus our minds solely and completely upon you. Lord, we pray for those that are not here, regardless of the situation. We ask that you comfort them, give them rest if that's what they're seeking, and then bring them back to us safely so once again we can enjoy their presence. Help us to love one another. Help us to reach out and go the extra mile for that loved one that's sitting next to us, for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Lord God, I pray that you would use me, that I would die to myself, and that you would take control of my thoughts, my lips, my voice, and deliver what you want us to hear and what I need to hear. We surrender to you, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Everyone said, amen. Thank you so much. We're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. And thank you, Scott. You guys did a great job this morning. Appreciate that. And we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, starting in about verse 10. And we're going to be looking at something that I became very familiar with as a little lad. I had uncles that fought in the sands of North Africa and in France during World War II, and others that were Marines like myself, and they landed in Tarawa and Guadalcanal, and they survived. So I knew what it was when we talked about a warrior, or when we talked about the equipment of war. And then, of course, I had uncles also that served in Korea and had dear friends die in the paddies of Vietnam. So when the Lord, at least when the opportunity came, or at least as in my class, it's called Digging Deeper. It's going on right now. Don Baker's back there teaching that. He's preached here. You guys know that. And when we got to chapter 6, we spent, to say the least, several months dissecting this particular section. But as I said before, growing up at the age of 4 and 5 years old, I was taken to church. I was in church from the time I was 6 months old. My parents dedicated me to the Lord. I was fortunate. I was raised in a Christian home. And so at about the age of 4 or 5 in the children's church, we learned this little jingle. It was a little tune, a little song. And some of you may know that. I know I'm dating myself, but that's okay. You don't hear it very often anymore. But it was called "I'm in the Lord's Army." And it used to go, "I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, or shoot the artillery. I may never fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir, I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir." So I used to get, a stick at home, and I'd march around with my stick and act as though I was playing. And then Mom finally broke down and got me a pop gun. You know, they kind of had a cork on the end, it had a string, so I couldn't put anyone's eyes out, because knowing me, I'd put mine out right off the bat. And I'd lose my eye. So it was one of those kinds, you'd pop it and pop, you'd pop things. I'd go around and shoot my sisters and things like that. I was a good little boy. And so, yeah, like I said, I relate. If you guys know the kid cartoon called Arthur, it's on PBS. I relate with Binky real good, if you know who Binky is. If you know the Little Rascals, and I'm talking about the original Little Rascals, I was kind of a little spanky. And I got a lot of them spankies when I was growing up, by the way. And so I kind of related with that. But getting back on focus here as we begin to read in Ephesians, I want us to realize that every one of us, when we receive Christ, regardless of the age, and I was fortunate, I realized what it was to know what sin was. I knew what was right and wrong at the age of 6. And I knew when I was disobedient to my parents. I knew when I didn't listen to my teachers. I knew when I didn't practice like I was supposed to. And so I knew exactly what it was to know what God was saying and listen to what God was saying. We didn't have children's church back then. We sat in the aisle with mom and dad, like some of you are here this morning, and we listened to the preacher preach. And that's what we called it back then. It wasn't speaking or bringing a talk. It was preaching. And so I oftentimes use the same vocabulary, but I quickly realized that I needed the Lord as my Savior. And so I accepted Christ. And at the time you accepted Christ, this is what happened. As we read in Ephesians chapter 6, if you turn there, whatever means by which you have before you, this is what happened when you received Christ as your Lord and Savior. Let's start in verse 10. It says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God," and some of the translations say complete. "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints." Now, there's a lot there to cover. And so, as we look at this, obviously, we're not going to cover each and everything. We're just going to highlight some things. Forgive me, my medication dries out my throat sometimes. The thing that we need to realize is that some of us forget the fact that we are in a battle. We forget the fact that Satan is going around and that whether we like it or not, he's after us 24/7. And it happens at home. It happens at school. It happens at work. And what I want to impress upon you this morning is the need, as we're getting encouraged, and as Paul is writing the church of Ephesus at the time, about 61-62 AD, we read later on in Timothy. Timothy is now the pastor of that church, but at this point, he's directly talking to those Ephesians. And obviously, they knew what armor was. They know what the Roman guards look like. The Roman guards wouldn't go out and walk around and patrol without being fully geared and fully ready for anything to happen in a moment's notice. But oftentimes we catch ourselves not doing that. At least I catch myself leaving something off or not, getting it on. Try to picture it as though, you received this equipment when you received Christ, and it's your responsibility to take care of it, to check it, to clean it, to make sure it's always ready at a moment's notice. I remember in boot camp, and from time to time, and of course you guys know I was a Marine, so in boot camp, when we received our gear back in my day, they threw the duffel bag at you, we're all lined up, and they throw the duffel bag at you, and you know what a duffel bag is, the big green thing, right? And so you'd pick that up, and nowadays, I guess they got like little cubicles, and they have all their gear there, and they tell you when and how to load it up. In our case, you know, we learned how to sidestep real fast, and so we just sidestep, and then the gentleman, which was oftentimes a PFC or a Lance Corporal or even a private, would throw whatever you were supposed to have at the time, and you had to try to catch it in the bag. If not, you caught it, and you put it in there, whether it was your shirt or your trousers, and you're praying, oh, I hope they give me the right size. There's no way I'm going to fit into a 32's waist, you know, or I'm going to fit into an extra large shirt. They just throw it at you. And so you put it in there, and by the time you got to the end of the line, you supposedly, with 85 pounds worth of stuff, you're supposed to have everything that you possibly could need during boot camp. So it's the same thing, but praise God, he didn't throw it at us. He gave it to us very gently and very lovingly. And so as we read about this and as we think about this, we realize that we are commanded to fight a good fight. And you're saying, well, is there any other kind of fight? Yes. If you know Satan, and we know the devil and his demons attack us on a regular basis, they're dirty. They attack from the weak side. They see the dents. They see the areas that we're weak in, and that's where they attack. It's kind of like, you know, when you're looking at, you know, war films, or if you don't, or if you look at the tactics, you know, you try to attack the enemy where they're the weakest. And that's exactly what Satan does to us, even though we have the equipment, even though we have God on our side. You're not alone. Whether you're wearing the equipment or not, you're not alone. God is with you. Don't forget that. We call upon him, ask him for help all the time, and you should be. But we still should be prepared. My wife knew that she married a nut when she did. And, of course, we got married when I was in the Marine Corps. And right off the bat, I said, honey, there's two or three things you don't do. Number one, you never touch my uniform. And when I'm in my dress blues, you better stay within arm's length of me. I don't want you anywhere next to my dress blues. And because, you know, any spec, you weren't ready then. And you say, man, you are nuts. Yeah. And so if we look at the same way that we look at getting prepared for an inspection, we stand inspection every day as a Christian. That's hard to acknowledge. It's hard to realize. Every morning I get up, and even though I'm reading through the Bible, and I do every year, and I encourage you to do the same thing, there's all types of, not say cheat sheets, but there's methods, and there's forms, and there's things that you can get on the internet that will help you go through the Bible starting January 1st, and you finish all the way in December at the end. But regardless of where I am with that, I always read these particular scriptures every morning before I start anything else, because I want to make sure I'm fully dressed. We all stood in front of the mirror today. We all picked out our outfits, or the wives picked it out for the men. And we went ahead and put it on, and here we are, okay? And so, so that's what I'm trying to do this morning for you. I'm trying to encourage you that as we start the battle, each and every morning when you take your first breath, let's be dressed. Let's be prepared. Well, again, we just read this, and I'm throwing another verse over in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. It says, be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a lion's dinner. I don't want to have Satan get the victory. He may win a little skirmish once in a while for a few seconds or for a few thoughts, or a few actions, but I don't want him winning. None of us should want that, because it destroys a little bit more of our armor. Well, again, let's go back and reread some of this. It says, again, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. The only way we can be strong in the Lord and in his might is to truly relax, or not relax, but rely upon him in every aspect of our lives. As you continue to go through it, and he goes, don't put on just a few things of the armor of God, but be able to put on the whole armor of God. I remember when, again, I was overseas, and I had the responsibility at one point to give out the equipment that individuals needed when they went off on what we referred to a float, which was going on a ship to take you over to wherever you needed to be in Southeast Asia. And so they had their list, and we had to make sure, I was standing there and making sure as the lower ranking guys would come up and say, here it is, you can go down the list, up, he needs this, you go down the list. Well, that's what we need to do every morning, go down the list. Well, first off, and if you have your sheet from your bulletin, if you want to take notes, if not, just listen, that's fine. Right off the bat, we have a couple blanks. The question is, why do we need the armor of God? And then why are we to be always at the ready? Verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. The wiles of the devil is schemes. We call them later fiery darts. It's ways in which the Lord, or not the Lord, but with the ways in which Satan knows you're weak. It may be the eyes. It may be the ears. You know, the stuff that goes on around the water fountain or in the break room or out in the hallway. It may be something that catches your eye on someone else or the lack thereof. It just may be the fact that you've turned on the TV and you're watching something and maybe some parts of that show, words are being said that was never even thought about being said 50 years ago on TV. But it is. And so there's things like that, that little by little, we become immune. We get to the point to where it's commonplace. You know, I think back when when you hear a round go by you, and if it's that close to where you can hear the sound, it's pretty close. And you never get used to that sound. And just like when I was teaching history in high school and we were watching war films and things like that, and I said, there's one thing that these films don't do and can't do, and that's to allow you the smell that goes on in a combat situation. Fighting against the devil can be pretty smelly. It can have some adverse effects on us, even though it may not take a direct hit. So as we look at that, this says we should be able to stand against these wiles. We should be able to be in the power of God and in the power of his might so that we can stand the attack. I always enjoy watching some of the old Roman, battles and the 300 and things like that where they all stand and they put their shields down and they put their spears out and they even cover themselves up to keep them protected from the arrows. And when the other crowds charge, they don't even move. They're just people getting speared and getting killed and they just keep coming and keep coming. And yet that Roman guard doesn't move. That's a picture of us. We don't move. We stand in the power of the creator of the universe. How can we be defeated? We can't. But we do lose a skirmish once in a while. The other thing is God wants us to fight. He knows that we're going to be in a spiritual battle. Therefore, he tells us to be prepared. As I shared a few minutes ago, I'm kind of nuts. My dress blues are all ready and pressed and hanging up, protected. My hat, my white cover, with the spit polish brim and my shoes, spit polish, all in the closet, safely packed away. Could I put them on? They wouldn't fit if I ever tried to put them on. But they're there and they're ready. You know, when I was teaching high school 15, 16 years, 17 years ago, the kids would say, well, Dr. Williams, would you go back if you had the opportunity? I said, if the Marine Corps called me right now and said, we can use you, I said, I'd be out the door like that. And they said, you're nuts. I said, yeah, I am. No doubt about it. But are we that ready when the Lord calls us for a battle? Are we that prepared? Let's move on. Are we ready for a battle within 24/7? Number two, what is the armor? Well, we've read about it. Well, let's kind of break it down a little bit. So as we look at, as we start now in, what are we, about 13? Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth. Number one blank is a belt of truth. Now, we had belts back in my day, and they were referred to as a utility belt. That's what we called them in the Marine Corps. Now they call them tactical belts. There's nothing wrong with calling that. You know, you'd hang your extra magazines on there and a little bitty first aid kit, with really, other than a couple Band-Aids and gauze and, you know, a couple packs of sulfur. What, you know, that's about all it was, your canteen and all this other stuff. And it was there. And so, you know, sometimes it weighted you down pretty good. But in this case, as these individuals could relate and say, oh, he's talking about the belt of truth. That's the word of God. No, it's not the word of God. It's the belt of the truth of God. Truth. That book that you're holding in your lap, that's truth. There's no false in it. Jesus Christ, no false, all truth. So as we wear that, and as we look at the Roman guards, that belt helped hold then the next thing, which we see then is a breastplate of righteousness. And with that breastplate of righteousness, it covered the entire front of the chest. And remember, think now, the Romans' equipment didn't protect the back at all. Sometimes they wore like a robe down their back, but otherwise they were not protected. And you know why? They were supposed to run from the battle. So we don't see anywhere in here where Paul says, don't forget to protect your back. No. Fellow Christian is supposed to do that, just like a fellow troop is supposed to do that. We are supposed to be doing what? Protecting the front. So, breastplate of righteousness, back in my day, they were called, you know, we wore flak jackets, which was, well, really couldn't stop anything other than if, you know, something went off and you got glanced. But, you know, if something was aimed at you, it didn't do much good. It's not like Kevlar and things like we have today. So you wear the breastplate, so the purpose is to protect the vital organs. And so as we think about the Word of God and we think what God has given to us, we take on the breastplate so that it will protect the vital organs so that when we're doing right, it will protect our heart, our thought process from what? The evil one. We need to have it on. The next thing, as we continue to read, it talks about then the breastplate of righteousness, verse 15, you're underlining these things, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace. Shod means, you know, the put on, okay? Some of us have sneakers on, shoes on, boots on, that's fine. You know, when I was overseas, you didn't think you arrived until you received jungle boots. Back in my day, it was jungle boots. That way, when you would walk through the patties or we'd get into a wet area, the water could drain out because there was little islets that let water drain out because so many guys was getting their feet in trouble with foot rot and different things like that. But we're supposed to have it prepared and shod with the gospel of peace to the point to where it protects us. It protects us with the Word of God, the gospel of peace, so that we stand securely in our beliefs. So many times we get tossed to and fro and we come across something on the TV or a good book or at least a book that we thought was good, and all of a sudden it starts taking us another direction, and we're not talking about the truth. We're talking about it should reinforce what the Word of God has for us. Our feet are well secured. Our feet are well protected. Our beliefs are well protected. The next thing, it talks about the shield of faith. Now, we never received a shield of faith, or at least a shield of any kind per se, when I was in the service. But here it says, do what? And taking the shield of faith in verse 16, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Fiery darts. Those plans, those little dings once in a while that he throws at you for a split second, you think of something that isn't honoring God, a fiery dart made its way through. And yet, you know, you think of those shields, and they just were little bitty round things like you see in the gladiators. I'm talking about something that was almost as tall as you, to the point to where when you set it down, all you had to do is hunker a little bit, and it covered you completely, and it protected you. That's the kind of shield we're talking about. Something that we use so that the fiery darts of Satan can't make it through. It can't pierce it. It won't make it through. Let's go on. Another thing is to have the helmet of salvation. We had helmets. Yeah. with a little liner in there, and they worked okay, but they really didn't do a whole lot. But yet here we're talking about the helmet of salvation. Look what it says in 17. Take the helmet of salvation, and then we're going to see the next couple things that we're supposed to have. But the helmet of salvation protects our lives from the devil. He keeps our mind clear so that when a fiery dart gets through, we can immediately stop it before it does what? Does any damage. The helmet of salvation. If you're not saved, you haven't got the foggiest idea what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about the devil and these demons and all these things that are happening. That preacher is crazy. He's already admitted that he's nuts. So I know what he's saying. It's got to be crazy. No. The Lord knows that we're in a battle. And the battle hasn't weakened from when he was here on earth. In fact, it's gotten worse. Our enemy knows us better than we know ourselves. He knows where he can wave the temptation, and we'll give it a little extra glance or a little extra ear. See, he knows. Regardless of your age, he knows. Regardless of where you are, he knows. In your spiritual growth, he knows. But we're supposed to be properly dressed. Now, it goes on, and here's one of the, we're getting towards the end part of it now. Not so much of the message, but the end part of the equipment. And in verse 17, the second part says, and the sword of the Spirit. Notice, what does that mean? Ah, it tells us. Which is what? You've got it. The Word of God. There it is. I always get a kick out of these medieval combat battles between the knights and the other guys, and the guy's got a sword that's about 5 feet long, and the blade's about that wide, and about a quarter, a half an inch thick, and I'm saying, you know, you swing that about two or three times, you're not going to get it back up. You know, they were really strong back then, no stronger than in some of you guys out here. Get a sword like that and swing it three or four times. Let's see how long you last. You won't last a half an hour, 45 minutes that the battle goes on that they show on the movie. But the Word of God, the sword of the Lord, we can. The sword is the word that helps us to attack Satan even when he's trying to attack our hearts. You know, we had weapons, of course. You know, back then I was issued a .45, and I wore that on my hip all the time and carried around an M16, even though I preferred an M14. And then there was M60 machine gun and an M50, you know, a 50 caliber machine gun and things like that. Some of those you couldn't carry. I would have wanted to, but you couldn't. Just too heavy. So we have weapons too, but you're holding it in your lap. That's part of the equipment. Now, in boot camp, they didn't give us weapons. They knew better. You know, boots or, you know, first inductees in the Corps or in the service, they don't give you a weapon until you go up to the rifle range and try to qualify. And even then, you're restricted and where and when you get your rounds and, you know, so forth. But the Lord doesn't restrict us. Go back. Think back when you received Christ as your Savior. As you move down the line and he starts giving you all these things, and then you come to the sword of God, and it's the Word of God. How well do you know it? How well do you use it? Well, let's continue on. The next thing it says in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. So, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and now he specifies exactly who the intended receiver is. Notice what it says, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, because if you're not, it won't go any further. It says, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication, and it says, for all the saints. Look at the person next to you and say, I'll pray for you this week. Go ahead. Yeah, turn back and do it the other side. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be sharing each other's burdens. When someone can't carry the pack anymore, when someone can't carry the load anymore, we're to come alongside and do what? Pick it up and throw ours and help them along until they are able to do it. That's what it's about. That's how we have power to stand. Point number three. Why are there more defensive, and this is the blank, why are there more defensive materials or equipment than offensive materials? Well, first of all, Satan is able to fire rapid fire, automatic. If any of you ever have the opportunity to fire an automatic weapon on automatic, you know what I'm talking about. Or what would someone say, a machine gun or a 50 caliber. As long as you hold that button and you have rounds, there it goes. M16 could fire about 16. No, not really. It could fire about 27, even though they don't tell you that, in about a second. If you fired more than, if you had enough to feed it with the rounds longer than the 15 or 30 round cartridge, you'd melt the barrel. Well, I don't think any of us can fire that fast. But as we look at the defense, Satan does that. He constantly fires. And when he knows that weakness, he just keeps hammering at it. He keeps hammering at it because he knows, oh, I caught his eye the first time on that one. I'll try it again. I'm going to keep, he perked up when he heard that word. I'm going to try that one again. Oh, he paid attention to that advertisement. He didn't run off and get his snack during that advertisement. I'm going to run that again for the next half hour, two or three times. See, we have to realize that Satan is out to destroy you and I as a Christian. Destroy us in our power, destroy us in our might, destroy us in serving the Lord faithfully and committed to Him. So it's only natural that we'd have more defensive weapons or materials, because Satan is quick and powerful. As we read before, he's like a lion seeking whom he may devour. We need to quench those fiery darts that he shoots at us. So, again, the defensive weapons, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, helmet of salvation, and the gospel of peace on our feet to protect our feet so we're strong in our beliefs. And then our offensive weapons are really awesome. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Do you remember when Christ was tempted in the desert by Satan? Think back. Some of you may not know, but here it is. He was tempted by Satan, and Satan promised him the world and promised him this and promised him that. And Christ, right back at him, with the Word of God, with Scripture. Not in his own intelligence, not in his own debating abilities, but with the Word of God. When the Apostle Paul was in front of the kings and in front of the magistrates, what did he do? He told them and shared his testimony completely laced with the Word of God. See, we can't fight the battle without the proper equipment. We can't respond without having the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And then lastly, as we look at it, everything must be prayed upon, ingested, filled with the power that we get through prayer. I know my class back there prayed for me before I got up here today in class. My wife, before I left, she said, honey, I love you and I'll be praying for you. Yeah. And I know some of you have been praying for me the entire time. Prayer changes lives. Prayers makes it to where we are able to stand against the wiles, the schemes, the conniving of the devil. Can't do it any other way. You may be able to do it for a little while, but it won't take long. He'll find the weakness. He'll see the broken leather strap. He'll see the dent that's just about open to get through, to allow something to get through. He'll see it, and he'll start working on it. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And again, in verse 10, as we read here, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Remember the little jingle I shared with you at the beginning? The little one, but I'm in the Lord's army. One more time, if I can find it. I may never, what, march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery, or fly or the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army. Not an option. It's not that I'm too tired to fight. Well, that's fine. Be a prayer warrior. I can teach a class. That's fine. Go in there and maybe help or stay and pray. We are always in the battle because Satan's coming at us from every direction. Be mindful of that. Even now, Satan's busy and has been during this service. He didn't want you to hear this, but we need to hear it. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning that you would truly work in each one of our lives, most of all mine, for every day, Lord God. You give us these things and we have them, but Lord, we polish them and we put them up on the shelf, or we put them on the nightstand, or we put them on the coffee table, and we just leave it set there and we don't do anything about it. And Lord God, you encourage us because, as it says in your word, and as Paul was trying to tell these individuals in Ephesians, Satan's busy. Satan is busy trying to destroy families, destroy our government, destroy our schools. Lord God, he is busy trying to damage your testimony. And we are your testimony. We are your living epistles, living word here on this earth. Help us to stand, be strong, and dressed for what's ahead of us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.